Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm still excited about what I saw back there. It's so good to see a bunch of folks in the house. Amen. Praise God. I almost started preaching what I was going to preach today from back there. And I know you wouldn't have liked standing there for the whole time. So praise God. Kids are being excused. I think they're already out, aren't they? Praise God. Hallelujah. It's been a little bit different morning. Amen. How many are excited about what God's doing? I'm excited. Hallelujah. I can just tell you that I had no idea this was going to be happening just the way it is. And so I know that God has more for us, more surprises. How many know that? God can open things up in an instant. How many know that? He can do whatever He wants to do. And I believe that whenever people are seeking God and going after Him, listening for His voice. Amen. Hallelujah. We are a church that we like. I like training people, teaching. We want to teach people to speak. Amen. So you're going to see some of these musicians. I've been asking the musicians that when they sense a word to go ahead and speak to the congregation. Is that okay with you? Are you guys okay with that? I believe God speaks. And He doesn't just use the pastor, the preachers. Amen. I believe God uses the whole house. Hallelujah. So it's important to me that I see and I hear some of these young people. If I'm not here to help encourage young people to speak for Jesus, what good am I? Amen. Come on. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? I've got to. My heart, my vision is to see young people grow in the Lord. How do you know that? In pursuit of a vision. That's what the message is today. In pursuit of a vision. Hallelujah. Come on, brother. The vision that God has for His people, for each and every one of you. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the leadership in a church. It is the whole congregation that you all connect to a vision that God has for you personally. Is that okay if I tell you that? Because the Bible says this, and I'm going to bring these scriptures up, that without a vision, the Bible says that people perish. Without a vision, people perish. So we need vision in the world today. How many know that? How many say amen to that? Amen. Can I tell you that you are a person that believes God? You're a person that has been bought by the blood of Jesus. That blood has purchased a place for you in the presence of God so that you can hear what God is saying to you personally. He wants to say something to you very personal that He doesn't want to say to anybody else. Can I tell you that this morning? He has things for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we were standing back there in the back, worshiping, while I was watching and looking at this, just looking at you folks, and there was some folks that had some bright smiles on them, and I could sense the presence of God back there in a way that was just a lot different. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? God is doing something. The presence of God is moving. I'm in, and I can't. I don't know how to put into words what I was feeling back there. Except that I'm seeing things that God has ordained. Not that I've planned, but what God has planned. There's a reason. I've asked Him, God, why another church in Green Valley? Why? 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 And what I saw this morning, this is why. Because we're not like another, we're not like other churches. We're not. We don't do things the same as other churches. Amen?
Amen.
What my heart is to do is to allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do.
Yeah.
That's why you'll hear people. That's why some of you will be speaking during the service. Decently and in order. Is that what the Word of God says? Decently in order. One over here, one over here, one over there, one over there. And let the rest judge. Ha! Come on. Hallelujah. And can I just tell you that a word from the Lord will be encouraging and building. And it will not be something that will tear you down. Because we are bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a difference. We're redeemed. Does that make sense to you? We are the redeemed. You have been bought. God wants to say things to you that come directly to you from His Spirit. And when He speaks to you, oh, you'll know it.
Yeah.
How many know that?
Yeah.
How many have sensed when God speaks to you, something within you just goes, poof. It's almost like an explosion. You go, boom. Whoa, man, what was that, God? Say it again. Tell me again. Let me hear that again, God. Show it to me again one more time. Boom, it happens again. Amen? Come on, man. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Bible says that, you know, there's a day coming where it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed. Is that right? Hallelujah. Is that one specific day? I don't think so. In a moment, weren't you changed? In one moment, I gave my heart to Jesus. I was changed. And then it has been event after event after event where God has come to me and he's revealed his word. And I call that the twinkling of an eye. It's a bright spot that all of a sudden I see something. A bright spot, I see something again. A bright spot, I see something. And when I'm seeing these things, it's changing me. Can I tell you that? Hallelujah. To the point where I'm being changed daily. It's what Jesus, it's what Paul said. I die daily so that, you know what? That he might be changed daily. How many want to be changed daily? I asked you last week, how many like change? And it wasn't, oh, but maybe two hands went up. Hallelujah.
I was a bad man.
He was a bad man. Come on, man. I was a bad man. How many are a bad man? Come on. And God changed you in a moment. And as you read his word, a twinkling of the eye comes in, another twinkling. You begin to understand what he's saying to you. And it's not anybody teaching. It's him by his Holy Spirit opening the word to you, opening the word, opening the word. Does that make sense? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is on the earth today to do. He's here to lead you and guide you into all truth so that you don't have to worry about where you're standing. You're standing on a sure foundation. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the rock. He is a sure foundation. Amen. Hallelujah. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. His name is Jesus. And when you're on that foundation, you know, I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit will begin to lead you and guide you into all these things where no man can steal from you what God has been teaching you. No one can steal from you. Can I tell you that?
Right.
If man has taught you, man can steal from you.
Right.
Is that right? Do you get that? But if the Holy Ghost has taught you, man, you stand, you say, hey, I don't care. This is what I've been taught by the word of God. How do you like that foot movement? Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what God is doing. God is leading and guiding you and teaching you. So when you hear these young people up here speaking, don't tear them down. Don't come against them and say, man, what are they doing there? I know them. Whatever. Encourage them. Say, thank you for that word this morning. Thank you. Maybe you didn't get it, but maybe it was for somebody else that you don't even know.
Right.
Hallelujah. Come on, man. Do you know it's time for the maturity of the believer to rise up? That we be believers in what God is doing. I might not know what God's doing in your life, but I know he's doing something in your life. So I'll just leave you alone. I'll pray for you. I'll work with you. Whatever I got to do. But I'll let God do that. I don't have to do it. God will do it. Hallelujah. Lord, I got a message I want to preach this morning. Can I talk it? The Lord said, no, you ain't going to say this, man. I will tell you that we are in a generation. We are moving into a generation. The word of God says that there is a generation and it will be accounted to the Lord is what it says. A generation. I believe we are speaking into that generation right now. I believe that God is building a people that will trust him in all circumstances, that will believe him for everything and anything, that will stand and say, hey, it might look bad, but you're not going to make me sad.
Amen.
Because I have a God that watches over me, and he will always do what he says his promises will do. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you'll be changed. It's not an event that's coming in the future. It's an event that's happening right now. You're being changed. As you hear the word of God being preached, it is happening now. God is changing you. Isn't that cool? Allow him to do that. It's good. It's good for me. It's good for you. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's good for you. It's good for you to change. Amen. It's good for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you will, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Ooh, Hallelujah. I'm excited. I get a little excited when I see something like that. I just get excited. Hallelujah. So if I start going too fast or talking really weird, just let me know. Just raise your hand and say, hey, knock it off. Slow down, Pastor. Let me, because I'm excited. I know God's doing some great things. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 16. I want to pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Father God, for your, my brothers and sisters, Lord, Father, the musicians, the teachers that are back there teaching our kids. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Lord, we honor you with who you are. You are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. So, Lord, feed us your word this morning as we look at your word, God. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Father God, I'm asking you that you would lead us into more vision, that we would be people that are in pursuit of a vision. So, Father, I thank you for it and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are on a missionary journey. They just got through. Well, I guess there was a little bit of an argument about Mark coming with them. And Paul said, no, I don't want him to come with us. So he said, so they kind of broke it off. And Paul says, I'll take Silas. Come on, Silas, let's get out of here. Let's go. Hallelujah. I don't know if that was a good thing or not, but I think it was, because later on, Paul asked for Mark to go and help him. But in the 16th chapter of Acts, it says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him, because the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Paul went ahead and took Timothy and just had him, just told him, hey man, if you're gonna walk with me, you're gonna be with me. Because of the Jews that are in this area, they will not listen to you. So you know what? I'll tell you what, we'll help you get circumcised. How many of you like that, guys? Nah, sorry, man. Sorry, Paul. You walk on your own, bro. Come on, man. I can't go there. But anyway, that's what happened, because Paul knew with wisdom. He spoke to him. He says, look, these guys, they will not receive you. So you're going to have to get the mark of the circumcision that is in the children of Abraham. So they went ahead and did that. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees forth to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Everybody say, increased in number daily. Increased in number daily. How many of you know that it's important that a church grows? The church will grow by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. I used to think that I had to go out and knock on doors like crazy. But it's not like that. I don't believe it's like that. Jesus said it this way, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. So I believe that God is going to draw people because of the Holy Ghost. He will, by the Holy Spirit, draw them to where they need to be, no matter where, in this church, wherever. Amen? Come on, hallelujah. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. What? What was that word? They were what? Forbidden. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach in Asia. What? Is that crazy? See, these men were led by the Spirit of God. So that's not crazy at all. Today we think, oh man, we just get up and go. We just move our... Sometimes we go without even hearing from God. And do you think that's correct? I would tell you something. We need to hear from God what he wants us to do. Here these men were evangelizing, but the Holy Spirit said, no, not into Asia. Not yet. Amen? Hallelujah. So they didn't go. Isn't that good? They didn't push in and say, hey, Holy Ghost said no, but let's go in there anyway. We can win a few at least. No, they just said no. Okay. Holy Spirit said no. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. Excuse me. And the Spirit suffered them not. Here's another place the Holy Spirit said, no, I'm not going over there. And they passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosening from Troas, we came with a straight course from Samothracia, good town, and next day to Nicopolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of what? Macedonia. And a colony, and we were in the city abiding certain days. Here the Apostle Paul had a vision. Is that right? How many of you have visions? How many like visions? How many of you have visions? The Bible says, in the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And he says, your young man shall dream dreams, and your old man shall see what? Visions. And I'm just going to go with, because I've seen a few visions. Is that okay? But the Word of God says I am renewed daily. The Word of God says that I have to do with my youth upon me. Is that okay? So therefore, because it says an old man shall see visions, I'm just going to say, you know what? I've seen some visions and I don't feel old at all. Amen. Praise God, man. You know what? I really do, because I've been working, because there was a part, there was a time there where I really wasn't doing anything, just sitting at the house and praying and walking and praying. But my muscles were just seemed like that. Every time I did something, I was battling the next day. How many, anybody get that? You young folks, you don't get it yet, man. It's okay. Nevertheless, just with the work we've been doing back there in the back, man, my back feels good. I mean, everything feels in correct order. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I even dropped a few boards on my feet yesterday, isn't that right? Dropped a board on my leg. I go, oh man, in Jesus' name, you ain't giving me no problems. Hallelujah. And it's not. It feels good. I mean, I'll show you my toes, but I don't want to do that. Praise God. But in the last days, man, we're going to see visions. And I'm going to say this to you. I am still pursuing a vision. I am still asking the Lord to show me more. Show me more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many want a vision? If you haven't had a vision, raise your hand if you want a vision. Lord, give me a vision. Ooh, come on. There would be more hands than that. I said, how many want a new vision? Come on, man. Every hand in the house should be up, because the Bible says that you need a vision to take you. You need a vision to hold you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Just read this to you. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Do you see that? The things that God has prepared for you, because you love him, he wants to pour into you a vision. He wants to pour into you the things that he has for you. He wants to uncover them. He wants to show them that they are there, that he does have a design. He says, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of his heart. But the Holy Ghost is the one that reveals these things to you. Is that all right? Is that okay? And a lot of you have heard my vision before, and because today is Vision Sunday, because I am in pursuit of a vision, because of what went on back there, I'm going to say this to you again. Some of you, you've heard it. You could probably say it with me. Isn't that right, Pastor John? Man, I've heard this before. Hallelujah. But how many of you know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? How many of you know that when you hear my vision, you might get a hold of what I'm saying to you? Is that right? Because sometimes people don't understand a vision. Sometimes I was in the back late, I think it was Thursday night in the back, and I was talking to the Lord, and the Lord said something to me. He said, Henry, perhaps people don't understand the vision you're under. And I said, well, I've told them. But how many of you know It was when I got this vision, I ran up and I told my pastor, and I said, "Pastor, I got a vision." And when I said it to him, he looked at me, he goes, "Cool, good." And I could tell he didn't get it. And like one thing I like to say, just because I got it doesn't mean that anybody else around me gets it. Is that right? Is that right? We assume everybody's gonna understand what I... No, I didn't understand it before. Why should I expect anybody else around me to understand the vision? Is that right? Because the vision, folks, listen to me, because the vision is spiritual. It's spiritual. And God speaks it into your heart because of the things that are going on in your heart. In my case, I was at First Assembly and I was a youth pastor. And I was going to leadership meetings up in Phoenix and at Tommy Barnett's church. And in these leadership meetings, they kept saying, you know, hey, you without a vision, the people perish. They kept preaching that to us. Without a vision, people, you got to have a vision, brother. I said, cool. So we would sit in these circles and they'd say, well, tell us your vision. So I'd make up a vision. I said, man, what? What are you talking about? Because I felt bad. I said, man, I got a vision. You're going to ask me to tell my vision? I got a vision. So they said, Henry, what's your vision? I want the kids in the high school. It was Saurita was the only one at our high school. I want them to come to the know of the Lord. Bro, that's good vision. All right, man, that's good. Yeah, and I would come back and I'd say, good. I felt weird about it. I go, man, how many know what I mean? I just felt it wasn't like, because it was something I wanted, but to me it wasn't a vision. It wasn't something that I'd seen. It wasn't something that God had spoken to me. So I said, well, so I come back and go another 6 months and head up there. And the first thing they say, man, do you have a vision? Not this again. You know, tell us your vision. Give them the same one. And they say, without a vision, people perish. You ever heard of scripture that says this? If the blind lead the blind, oh, what will happen to the blind? They all fall in the ditch. Is that right? So I came back and I had seen that scripture and I said, Lord, I don't have a vision. You got to give me a vision. You got to give me a vision. So I started asking, Lord, give me a vision. Show me what you want. Show me what it is that you are wanting me to do. Give me a vision. Let me know, Father God. Got to the point where I was so frustrated. I was fasting. Amen. I was fasting. I was praying. I was reading the Word of God. And I said, God, I've got to have a vision. He wasn't listening, I thought. I didn't think he was listening. It seemed like he was. But yet in my heart, I knew the Word of God, because the Word of God says in the last days, there'll be dreams and there'll be visions. So I said, God, I know you're a dream giver and a vision giver. So what's up? I'm asking, what's up? So I told God, okay, this is it, God. Sunday. If you do not give me a vision by Sunday, I'm stopping. I'm not going to teach these kids anymore, because your word says, without a vision, people perish. And it also says, if the blind lead the blind, they'll all fall in the ditch. I, Father, do not want to be responsible for a bunch of teenagers falling into the ditch. I won't be it. So I said, if you don't give me a vision by Sunday, I'm going to walk in there. I'm going to tell Pastor that I'm stepping back. So I'm serious. I'm telling the Lord. I'm at work and I'm in a compressor room where you can yell, scream, and nobody will hear you. It is so loud. And I've got all my stuff on and I'm calling out to God and I'm yelling, God, you got to give me a vision. You got to give me a vision. God, please give me a vision. If you don't, I'm not going to do this anymore. I will not do this. I will not do this. Without a vision, the people perish. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, read the rest of the verse. Read the rest of the verse. So can you put up Proverbs 29:18? Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's the part I was saying to the Lord. But when I opened up my little Bible, how many of you got a little Bible where when you need it right away, it's in your pocket? No, anybody? Oh, you got your phones, huh? Yeah, at that time, I didn't have a phone. That time, I had a little tiny Gideon's Bible about that big. It was about that big, and it was super wide because I was always in it, messing around, looking for the Word of God. And I, And I said, and he said, read the rest of the verse, because I had been rehearsing to him the first part of the verse. Without a vision, the people perish. So I looked it up, and it said, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. And when I read those words, I said, no one can keep the law. Only Jesus can keep the law. He's the one that kept the law. He fulfilled the law. When I said that, all these scriptures about Jesus began to flood my heart. And I go, woo! I said, praise God. He's the Lamb of God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. I said, I got a vision. That's what I thought. And I said, praise God. Thank you, Lord. My vision is Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Jesus is my vision. How many know Jesus is your vision? How many know that? Come on, man. So I went and told my pastor, because I had told him, hey, pray for me, because I'm asking God for a vision. So he goes, yeah, okay. So I told him, Pastor, yeah, God spoke to me. I got a vision. So, yeah, what is it? It's Jesus. And he looked at me. It's almost like, you're just not getting it? But I could tell he was kind of, okay. I said, well, you know, I'm passing my, it's Jesus. My vision is Jesus. So the whole week went by, and I'm saying, praise God, my vision is Jesus. And I talked to the kids on Sunday about Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm in the compressor room the next week, and I'm standing, and I've shut one of the machines down, and I'm changing the oil on it, and I'm putting a filter in it and everything. And this room is full of piping and electricity, a conduit that is bringing power to the, and air hoses and water hoses, all sorts of stuff on the wall that feed this machine. And while I'm standing there, I'm praising God. I'm happy. Can you know what I mean? Can I tell you, when the Word of God comes to you, when God says something to you, there's a joy that wells up within you. You say, yeah, yeah, God's talking to me. Well, I'm happy. I'm just cruising in there, man. Yeah, praise God. Oh, what a fellowship. What a joy divine, right? And I look up, and there's a wall that's right by the, John has all the piping conduit and everything, but it's blank. It's white. It looks like somebody just sheetrocked it. And I'm looking at it, going, huh. And all of a sudden, I see this little lake at the top. It looks like it's a pond. It's a lake, and while I'm looking, I see this little pipe coming out of it, like a half pipe. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's a half pipe, and at the end of that pipe, there's a man standing there. And I'm going to give you the scripture, because this scripture, I would read this scripture almost every year, because I was always trying to read the Bible through in a year. How many of you get it? Did anybody do that? Try to get through the Word of God as much as you can. Just continue to stay in the Word of God. Read Leviticus 10 times this year. How many say amen to that? Song of Solomon, read that 10 times this year. Come on, man. Hallelujah. But anyway, I'm not sure if I gave you Isaiah chapter 7, verse 3. I'd run into the scripture. And the scripture said, then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now and meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub, that guy, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. That scripture, when I would read it, it would jump at me. It would come on me, man. I'd go, boom. I said, man, I don't get it. God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? So I'd read past it. I'd read above it again. But I could never figure out, for years, I couldn't figure out what he was saying to me. Just could not. But that morning when I was in there, and that lake showed up, I'm looking at that. I didn't know it was a scripture. I really didn't know. I see this lake, and I see this pipe coming out. And I see a man standing at the end of that pipe, and that pipe is touching him about in the back right here. And I could see that he's standing in front of two fields. It'd be like a road right here, like this right here, and there's a field here, and there's a field here. And I can see him, he's standing there. And all of a sudden, I see the water that's in that reservoir up there. It begins to slosh, and boom, it pops over, and it runs down that pipe. Just like it says here, the end of the conduit of the upper pool. There was an upper pool, this conduit, and the water was running down this conduit, and it hit the man in the back. And as it hit him in the back, it began to swirl inside of him. I could see the water swirling inside of him. And then he opened up his mouth, and that water just just began to spray all over these fields that were that he was standing in front of. And while he was I was watching the water, I could see things sprouting up. It looked like corn stalks. Everything began to grow. All of a sudden, they began to get real big. And I'm looking. This is I'm seeing this thing in my workplace, if you will, in a compressor room that's loud. And I'm looking at this, and all of a sudden, poof, disappears. I go, God, what? And I heard the Lord say, this was a scripture, go and stand at the end of the conduit of the upper pool. Can I tell you, God is the upper pool. He has a water source for you that he wants to bring to you. The waters of life. That conduit is that place, is that means of getting it to you. Do you know who the means of getting God's water to you is? His name is called the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That water coming to you, the water of life, it hits the person and he begins to speak it. And wherever that water goes, isn't that right, Terry? It will bring what? Life.
Life.
It will bring life. And I'm seeing it, and I'm now I start weeping. And I realized that God had really now that would see, I relaxed a little bit with God. Is that right? Can I tell you it's okay to wait on God? I mean, I was giving him demands. You better give it to me by Sunday or I'm going to quit. Who am I? Who are you, bro? I could hear the angels going, look at him. What's he saying? He's going to quit. Come on, man. He don't know God. Oh, yeah.
We got plans for him.
Yeah. But there it was. And I heard the Lord say to me, Henry, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and all doctrine. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to do that. I said, I can preach. I think I can do that, God, as long as you'll help me. I can be instant in season, out of season, as long as you help me. Can I tell you something? Did you hear Jasmine this morning? Did you hear what she was saying?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, come on. Can I tell you, I was telling her, man, I said, hey, you're going to help out in the youth group. Why don't you, you know, hey, just go up there cold turkey and give them a word. She goes, I don't know how to do that. Do you hear that? Did you hear what she did this morning?
Yes.
That's the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely.
When Rebecca's doing that, that's the Holy Ghost. When Lacey spoke, that's the Holy Ghost. I encourage that. I encourage it. Because there's a word on their heart for somebody out here. There's a word on it. Come on. But he said, preach. I said, Lord, I'll preach. I'll try to be instant in season only if you help me. But Lord, reprove, rebuke people with longsuffering and doctrine. I don't know if I can do that. And he told me this. This is what he said. I'll be with you to help you in that. The same way. I will do these things for you. Can I tell you that this work is done by the Holy Ghost, by God? If you think it's your work, you got something to, you better think about it again. If you think your gift was given to you just so that you could make you look good, you better think again. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. The Word of God says that God resists the proud, but boy, he pulls in the humble. The gifts that you have are given by a mighty God, a holy God, and has an intent for every gift that goes out to every person. There's gifts in you that you don't even know about that God has designed for you. Hallelujah. And if you will allow him, he will open them up to you. What I am is I'm a man in pursuit of his vision because I know what that vision is. I saw the vision. I saw where the waters of life were hitting those trees, those whatever they were. It looked like corn to me, but I saw how they were sprouting up and growing up every time the water touched them. And I believe that part of this, what we did this morning is just a small part of what God is going to do. God is going to cause growth in the body of Christ. That's what I'm after. I'm after growth in the body of Christ. I'm not. I believe people will come because there's a desire in their heart to grow in the things of God, to be able to be used by God, to be a mouthpiece, if you will, wherever they're at. It's cool. I believe that. I believe God's doing that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. I love this scripture. The Bible says this: I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. Hallelujah. How many of you know that not only has God promised, shown in a vision about this house, but he also spoke to me about the property that's around this house. God had told me, he says, I want you to walk this neighborhood, walk around the church. So I walked around the church. Then he said, walk around those buildings, walk around the apartment complexes that are around you. Walk around, go up to Safeway, go down, go all the businesses, hit the businesses that are down on the street. Walk down into, I've been walking past some of your houses. You don't even know it, man. Yep. Come on. I've been walking. God told me to walk the Sarita, the education, what's the other one? Government corridor. So he'll walk that corridor. So I've been walking that corridor. You might see me out there. You know that bridge that's way out there, goes over the Santa Cruz? Santa Cruz, yeah. Yeah. That bridge had somebody out there. Rosie and I were out there and somebody honked at us. Somebody knew us. Did they offer us a ride? How did they know what we were doing? But we were way out there. They honked at us. I go, look at that. They just honked. Said hi. Could have stopped and at least said, hey, can we give you a ride? No, I'm just kidding. But God told me to walk. God told me to walk. And one day I was walking in these doors right here. And the Lord said to me, 14.2. And I said, what? 14.2. So I went and I grabbed my Bible. I started looking. I'm looking in chat. Lord, what? What book? What are you talking about? I went to every 14.2 that I could find in the Bible. I said, I don't know what you're talking about, God. You're going to tell me what book? The next week I'm out walking and I'm at the corner here of Duval Mine Road and the Frontage Road, waiting for the traffic to clear so I could kind of jog across the street because I've been praying for the theater. I believe, and there's been two or three dreams that have been in this area, that theater is going to become a youth center. Isn't that cool? So I'm believing for it. I'll go over there and I'll walk around that building and I'll put my hand on it. I'll say, this is going to be a youth center. Sorry. We're the show. That's going to be the shop. Sarita House of Prayer for youth. Cool. Believe with me, if you will. Come on, man.
Let's do it.
But I'm standing on the corner, getting ready to cross the road, and all of a sudden I feel the presence of God come pointing in on me. I'm going, oh yeah, this corner feels good right here. Lord, I said, Lord, what's going on? What are you doing? What are you telling me? So I turned around and I was looking at this building from that corner over here and I'm looking at it. I said, Lord, bless. Man, thank you for all you've given us. Bless this. We had not yet purchased the building. I said, Lord, I know you're going to give us the building. I know it. And I looked down and there's a sign that's right there in the corner. Still there. It says, for sale. 14.2 acres. And man, poof, I got another. Yeah. You want the property. Cool. I'll believe you for that. I said, I don't know what he wants. Can I tell you, I still don't know what he wants for it over there. I still don't know what God wants us to do with this property. But I believe God is going to give it to us. I just believe God. Hallelujah. He gave us the building. Is that right?
That's right.
5 years. We paid over $1 million for this building. I got a truck I've never paid off in 5 years. I'm standing over here at these pipes. You know, if you see, as you drive out today, go along the sidewalk, you'll see there's some railing there. And in my walk, I'll stop there because of this scripture right here. It says right here, it says, I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower. And then it says this, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. See, I want to see what he's saying to me. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
I want to see with my spiritual eyes what God is saying to me. So I will stand up down those rails and I say, Lord, I don't know what you've got for me here. I don't know what you want us to do that. Will you show it to me? Will you give me a vision of what you want to do? Hasn't done that yet. Hasn't showed me. But my daughter told me we were having Wednesday night services, and my daughter told me, she goes, Dad, we take the kids out to play. And at that time we were having little church service for the kids, but they would take them out to play. And my daughter told me, she goes, hey, Dad, every time they fall down, man, that parking lot is rough on kids. How many know that? Anybody ever fallen in a parking lot? You don't want to, because that parking lot will eat you alive, man. It's rough, man. It's got a lot of little gravel in there. It's not good. She goes, Dad, they're falling. And I said, I know, sweetheart, but just tell them not to play so hard. I don't know what to tell you. She goes, Dad, we need a place for the kids to play. All right. We still, how many say amen to that? We still do.
Amen.
I said, all right. So I'm walking in my trips, and I'm standing over here right by the Truly Nolan, where the Truly Nolan car is, right at this, where this, you got the road comes around the curve and it heads out that way. And I'm standing on that corner, and as I'm standing, I stopped for a car to go by. And while I'm stopped there, I look up, and this whole west side of this building, all of that property, I see grass, I see trees, I see a basketball court in the far end down here. And I'm looking at it, and I go, huh? And as I'm looking, before I really got a chance to try to focus, you know what? Can I tell you that spiritual vision, sometimes God will give you glimpses, but you can't focus on it. Can I tell you that? It's kind of weird. You just can't focus on it. And I'm standing on it. I'm standing in that corner, and I'm looking at this thing, and all of a sudden, a car, beep, honks at me. Somebody knows me. Hey, how's it going, man? And I look up, and the whole thing's gone.
Oh.
I go, what? I said, Lord, so I call the people, and I tell them, hey, company's called Park Corporation. I give them a call and I say, hey, man. I said, hey, my name's Henry Ayala. I am a pastor of a church called Sarita House of Worship. We're in the old bowling lanes. Can you tell me what is the price of the property that's around us? $3.3 million. Wow. I go, what? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, and I said, well, how about just the West End? Because that's all I saw at the moment. He goes, well, $300,000 for that stick, that piece that comes off. And he goes, why? What? He goes, what were you planning to do with the property? And I said, well, we've been talking. We would like to create a park. He goes, a park? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, you know, Park Corporation. This might sound confusing because it's called Park Corporation. And I told him we want to create a park. And he goes, Park Corporation. He goes, we've dealt with churches before, and they just don't really want to work with churches anymore. I said, oh, okay. I said, all right. That's kind of not really what I wanted to hear, but that's, he goes, well, why do you want to make it a park? I said, well, because there's some apartment complexes around here, and there's no place for kids to play. And for the kids in our church, there's no place for the kids to play. He goes, well, I'll propose it to him and see what happens. He calls me back in about 2 weeks. He goes, Henry, do you have a letterhead? And can you put down what you want to do with it? Just how you want to create a park for the kids. There's apartment complexes next door. I said, sure. And I go, what's going on? He goes, hey, man, they kind of like the idea. I said, okay, cool. So I said, we sent him a letter and we told him what we were wanting to do. Another 3 or 4 weeks goes by and he calls me back all excited. He tells me, Henry, he goes, hey, man, we're looking at that property. Town of Sarita's looked at it, and there's not enough land on the side of that property to create a park. I said, oh, okay. And he goes, but there's more land around you. I said, okay. And he goes, I think Park Corporation wants to help you out. I said, okay, great. I said, but wait a minute, I don't understand. Help me out. What do you mean, help me out? He goes, Henry, I think they might donate it to you. I said, okay. But then he goes, okay, so do you own the building? I said, at that time, I said, oh, no, we don't own the building. We're leasing it. And he goes, oh, man, he goes, you got to own it. They won't. He goes, go ahead and as soon as you are owning the property or you're buying the property, let us know. I said, all right, sounds good. So I called them up afterwards, after we had bought the property. I didn't tell him we paid it. I just told him, hey, we bought the property. It's ours now. He goes, great. And he goes, I'll get back with you. He hasn't gotten back with me. I've called him a couple of times, and he says, hey, they're still talking. I think they're still trying to sell it, but I'm believing that God has already given it to us. I believe they're not going to sell it. He told me it's a nightmare. It is a floodplain nightmare next door because they cannot. There's washes coming from the two hotels, the apartment complexes that's right here west of us. There's water coming in from there, and water coming in along the side of Duval Mine Road. So it's really, he said, it's a nightmare. Park Corporation has sold a big chunk of land to the mines up here, and he goes, and now they just want to get rid of some of these smaller pieces. And he says, so he goes, I'll let you know. I said, all right. So he hasn't gotten back with me, but I believe it's ours because I saw it in a vision.
Let's start praying.
I saw a vision. Yeah. Be praying.
Pray.
These little booklets you got here that we gave you this morning, use those as a prayer point, if you will. Use them to pray. Say, God, open this up for us, Lord. Open these things up for us. Open the property around us. I believe it'll be a really nice park here. I believe we can create a nice park. How many say amen? I believe it'll attract kids. It'll attract young people. I believe we can put we can put a regular basketball court back there. I believe we can put a football field. I don't know. I saw a field and I saw basketball courts. What else he wants to do with it, I've got no idea. That's only in this little section that I saw. They've got this whole back end that runs all the way to the back end of Burger King. Isn't that cool?
Wow.
All the way to the back end of Burger King.
More work for the men.
Come on. Yeah, more work for the men. Hallelujah. Like we need more work, huh? Come on, man. Praise God. But folks, let me just say this, that God is a God of visions and dreams. Are you getting dreams? Are you visiting? Or are you just going along idling in life saying, man, whatever God brings me, it's okay. No, God wants to go after. He wants you to believe for the things that... Look at our power verse. The power verse today is Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. And I'm going to come back to this other one, but it says, everyone that seeks, what is it? Everyone that asks, what? He receives. See, this is preceded by a verse that said, seek and you shall find. Knock. No, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. This is the perceived. But here Jesus is saying, everyone that asks receives. Is that a good promise?
Yes.
That's a promise right there. If you don't recognize promises, it's time you start recognizing these promises. That is a promise. Everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. Isn't that good? Come on, let me tell you, man, my head's buzzing right now. I can feel that. Oh, God. Yeah, and then he says it, but him that knocks, what? It will be opened. That's a promise. There's three promises packed in one. Come on. So are you asking? Are you seeking? And are you knocking? Because God wants to give you. I want to go back to that other scripture. Whew. Now, oh, I'm sorry. It's going to be Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Where it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me. See, are you expecting a vision? Are you expecting God to give you, to show you something? Are you expecting it? Because you got to be expecting. It's got to be something that there's a hunger within you that says, God, I want to see what you're saying. I want to know what you're doing. Lord, open these things to me. It says this, I will watch and see what he'll say to me. That's kind of a strange statement, isn't it? But we use it all the time. Is that right? The kids come to me, hey, Tata, can I have a sandwich? And I'll tell, go see what your nana says. See that? Use that same sandwich. Go see what your nana says. I don't say, go hear what your nana says. I just say, go see what your nana says. We use that statement all the time. But I believe that God is saying something to this. He wants to show you. He will show you so that you see with spiritual eyes and not with your natural eyes. What you see with your natural eyes is temporary. It's going to fade away. But what you see with your spiritual eyes, these are the things God's trying to show us. This is why I've been saying, this is why God has been telling us, get into your closet. Find me. Seek me. Find me. Seek me. You'll find me. Seek me. Get after me. Come after me. Come after me. And you watch. He'll begin to open these things up to you. Because it's his good pleasure. Isn't that what the word, isn't that what Jesus, fear not, little flock, is what Jesus said. Fear not, little flock. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to show it to you, to open it up to you, to let you see these things in a reality that you hadn't known, in a way, in a place that you've never been. He's trying to open these things up to you. Hallelujah. Seek, you will find. Proverbs chapter 8. Verses 14 through 21. How many of you guys are getting tired? Man, I'm tired. I'm feeling, hey man, I'll tell you something. What time is it? Oh my goodness. It's 12:12. You guys okay? You know, it's just because we had a little bit longer thing going on because of the thing going back. But I need to let you go because I guess your hamburgers are burning, your roast is turned to charcoal, and you'll be fine. Verse 14 says, check this. I just want to read this. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. This is what the word of God says. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. How many like strength? Yeah. Yeah. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall what? Find me. Riches and honor are with me. Come on. How many, you know who's got all the riches and honor?
Yes. My daddy.
My daddy. Yeah. My God. God has riches and an honor for you. He says, durable riches and righteousness. And then he says, my fruit is better than gold. Now, you can believe that. Bro, I believe that. Hallelujah. Money is not an issue with me anymore like it used to be. My God and his word is everything. Come on, man. He says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of what? Righteousness, being right. In the midst of the paths of judgment. See, God wants to show you righteousness, and then he also wants to give you judgment. And then this is the verse I wanted to say, that I may cause those that love me, listen, to inherit a bowling alley, to inherit the property around the bowling alley,
yes,
to inherit a movie theater over there, to inherit who knows and who, and but God knows. Who knows? That I may cause those that love me. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Yes, you do. To inherit substance. And then he says this, I will fill their treasures.
Ooh, amen.
Amen? Praise amen. God. Hey, go after a vision. Be a person in pursuit of a vision. Could you stand and we'll pray. Hallelujah. I didn't realize it was 12. 14. Praise God. They need to put that clock in red. Can we do that? Beep. After, when it gets close to 12, it'll start flashing in red. Beep, beep, beep. Sorry. Father, we thank you this morning. Father, I thank you for the word of God, and I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the lives of your people. Father, I thank you that you are a one-on-one God, that you desire to speak to us one-on-one. Father God, we no longer are religious, but Lord, we are in relationship with you. So Father God, in that relationship, Father God, I'm asking, Father God, that your word, like we read today, to those that ask, they will receive. To those that seek, they will find.
Right.
And to those that knock and continue to knock and continue to knock, you will open your word to them, Father. I speak that to the congregation. I speak that to those that are listening in the name of Jesus. I speak that. And I thank you for it this morning. I give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hug somebody.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.